Radio Theater is on the air.
Yo, radio, it's the riders on the radio. Come on, partner, settle up and go. Get ready for the cowboy show. Yodelay, yodelay, yay. We've been working since the break of day. We've been doing it the cowboy way. Now it's time to play. We're gonna ride and rope and wrangle a tune. We're gonna hoot and holler and howl at the moon.
Yes, partners, it's time to settle up and ride the airwaves once again with America's favorite cowboys and riders in the sky. Too Slim, the man of many hats.
Howdy.
Pa, the king of the cowboy fiddlers. And Ranger Doug, the idol of American youth. This is Texas Big Spinner inviting you to join Riders in the Sky for a thrilling program of high yodeling adventure.
We're gonna ride and rope and wrangle a tune. We're gonna hoot and holler and howl at the moon.
Ow, ow, ow.
Every buckaroo and buckaroo, there's a place around the fire for you with riders in the sky. So come on and let's ride.
And now with the 2,247th performance of their lean, mean, take no prisoners career, here are Riders in the Sky.
Thank you, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, buckaroos and buckarettes gathered here in the beautiful Emory Theater in Cincinnati, Ohio, or around your radio. A tip of the 10-gallon hat to you, and to you, Texas Bix Bender, the voice that sold a million baby chicks over border radio, and welcome to our show. We're just awash in royalty tonight, and starting to my left, that's your right, on your Zenith Hertz Heaven receiver, the king of the cowboy comedians, Too Slim!
Yes. Thanks, folks. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
How you like my new crown, Ranger Doug?
Well, it's beautiful, Too Slim. It's the finest lampshade I've seen today.
Yes, thanks. It's a little loose.
You're telling me. Speaking of a little loose, here's another king. This one reigns over the cowboy fiddlers. He's Woody Paul.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you, friends. Keep your seats. Keep your seats, please. No need to get up. Please. And sure, being a king is great, but if I ever grow up, I want to be the guy in the middle. The I Love American Youth, Ranger Doug.
Thank you so much. And of course, our orchestra, under the direction of Joey, the Cow Polka King. Great, Joey. From a Jack to a King polka. I know you're kind of famous for being able to turn any song into a polka. How about As Time Goes By? Well, I think just about enough time has gone by, Joey. Thank you very much. Joey, the Cow Polka King. Thank you. Lovely. Beautiful. It's always exciting to work out a new piece of material out on our ranch, and here's one we've just whipped into shape. It's grain-fed and ready for market, and we call it the Desert Serenade. The moon is high, and the fire is low. A billion stars outshine the embers glow. A lonesome yodel soft and low can't chase the memories of long ago.
Somewhere she's sleeping on a soft and quilted bed, in a house we might have shared if I had stayed. But I'm sleeping on the cold, hard ground instead, swapping yodels with the coyotes in a desert serenade.
Oh, Lordy.
Thank you.
will chase the shadows of the night, and these memories will vanish with the light. A cup of coffee and I'll be all right. A new horizon waits for me just out of sight.
Somewhere she's sleeping on a soft and quilted bed, in a house we might have shared if I had stayed. But I'm sleeping on the cold hard ground instead, swapping yodels with the coyotes in a desert serenade.
Oh,
Writers Radio Theater will return just as sure as God made little green apples. But first, this word. Neighbors, has this ever happened to you? You're proudly showing off your home, your condo, or your apartment, and your guest says,
"Nice spread, partner. Yeah, it looks real nice. Too bad about them chickens, though."
"What? What's wrong with my chickens?"
"Well, they look so depressed, so downhearted, so dingy."
"Dingy chickens? Oh, no, I'm so ashamed. What can I do?"
Well, friend, you've asked the question, and that's the first step on the road to recovery. This is your old partner, Texas Bixbender, saying, "Dingy, depressed poultry is an endangered species list, thanks to my new line of poultry personal care products." Yes, Texas Bixbender's Ultralay Poulet system will revolutionize how you feel about your chickens, and even more important, how your chickens feel about themselves. Just listen to this flock. Yes, they're enjoying the benefits of my hypoallergenic feather sheen comb gel and the long-awaited beak brightener. These birds were treated to a new look, lead press-on claws in all the hottest L.A. fashion colors. We hinted these hens with my Rhode Island red rinse, sure to beautify any brood and jack up their self-esteem. I wish I could take all the credit for this breakthrough system, neighbors, but I can't. Here's the genius who brought Ultralay Poulet to me, noted French chicken expert Robert Poulet. Fill him in, Bob.
The name is Robert.
Oh, yeah, well, you said it, partner. Bob, a partner.
My amazing discovery is oil of poulet. I've combined ancient herbs, rare mineral extracts from high in the Alsace-Lorraine, and my secret ingredient.
Excuse me, Bob, but around here, we don't keep secrets from our listeners.
He's Robert. Well, great, fine. I'll give it away. Everybody be able to make it. It will wreck everything. The secret ingredient, crazy water crystals. Are you happy? Sacre bleu, crazy butter, announcer.
Well, you can't argue with that, friends. I feel sure that nobody listening to my voice right now is crazy. And you'd have to be crazy not to pick up the phone and call 1-900-POULET to order your first shipment of my Ultralay Poulet poultry personal care system. Only $9.99 gets the egg rolling, partners. And that's
cheap, 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 cheap.
It's a magical blend of French genius and Texas grit, and you need it now. And now we return to the glory of Riders Radio Theater.
Thank you, Texas Bixbender. Well, every trail drive needs extra hands now and then to help with the chores. And Too Slim, who have you hired on this week?
Well, we have a cowboy poet, Ranger Doug. Folks, we met this feller out at the Cowboy Poetry Gathering in Elko, Nevada. He's appeared at poetry conclaves all over the West, and he's published in a passel of anthologies as well as his own books. You may have caught him on The Tonight Show. All this, and he's a working cowboy, too. He's not afraid to get in there and root. Please help us welcome Waddy Mitchell.
Howdy, boy.
Hey, Waddy.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
How you doing, partner?
I'm doing good, partner.
Well, do us a funny poem here. What do you say?
Well, you know, writers, it said every story has a hero, or at least one character that's main. But to call Larry anything less than grotesque is bordering on the insane. In a tavern booth in the days of my youth, we sat wasting away precious time. And one day what ensued, though you may think it crude, is the plot for this story in rhyme. You see, Larry liked to bet, and he yelled where he sat in a voice that was screechy and high, "Hey, barkeep, I will bet a $10 bill I can bite my own right eye." Now, this keep overgrown for being congenial weren't known, and his conversation often lacked grace, and all the hours therein that I'd spent in that den, we never once saw a smile on his face. He glared at our friend with an evil-like grin. I sure didn't think he'd buy it, but he reached in the till, pulled out a bill, said, "I'd like to see you try it." Well, Larry popped out his glass eye, bit it not hard, then returned that thing to its socket. Then he picked up his winning all the time while he grinned and stuck it neat in his pocket. The tender's face, it turned red. Some cuss words was said, torn hard seeing he wasn't too tickled. Larry saw the despise in them bloodshot eyes and grinned that grin he grins when he's pickled. "You're a strange sort of bloke. Most folks laugh at that joke, but you didn't," Larry said with a sigh. "But I'm of sporting men, so I'll bet one more 10 I can bite my own left eye." "You couldn't be blind. I myself seen you find your way through tables and route to the John. You're trying to bluff. Think I've not guts enough? Well, I'm calling your hand, kid. You're on." Now, Larry weren't blind. That was easy to see. The keep thought he'd found his reprieve, so he laid down a 10 spot and folded his arms. But Larry had a trick up his sleeve. You see, Larry'd been kicked in the mouth as a kid by a horse he was trying to bite, and what few teeth were left after this episode some years later was lost in a fight. This time, he didn't pop out any glass peeper, though he acted like he'd give it a try, but with the toothless grin of a man richer by 10, he used his false teeth to bite his left eye. Well, the bartender blew. He cussed Larry clean through, said, "Take the money and get out of this place. I've been swindled today. You've got most of my pay. You best leave while you still got a face." "I assure you, sir, it was all done in jest. I didn't mean to make you upset. I'll give you go to win back your dough if you'd just care to make one more bet. Now, if you'll go down far to the end of the bar and place there a shot glass upright, I'll make a bet you won't regret, and most likely you'll be richer tonight. But I'll bet the 20 you had, then 10 more I'll add, that I'll fill up that shot glass so far with nothing more than the juice from my lip full of snooze and not get one drop on your bar." Well, the bartender knew it was at least 20 foot along that bar made of inlaid hardwood, and although he'd known men who were good with their aim, no one was known to be that good. So he took up the bet. He laid down his dough. That shot glass was placed quick and neat. Larry stepped up spry, let tobacco juice fly. Not a drop came within 7 feet. Larry was beat. Revenge was sweet. The keep was laughing. "I knew it. The target was too far." He walked up with a grin, pocketed his win, grabbed a rag, and started cleaning that bar. "Hey, what's with your grin? You're now into me, 10, he said, wiping the bar all the while. "Well, I bet my friends where they are that I could spit on your bar and you'd wipe it up with a smile."
Yes, sir, Waddy Mitchell. That's great.
I tell you what, it's great to have you on the show, Waddy. You know, your poetry really has the creak of saddle leather in it. Sounds like the real stuff to me.
Well, thanks to Slim. I guess that comes from, you know, living out in the wide open spaces like I do.
I know what you mean, Waddy. That's where I get inspired to write my Western music and songs and, well, just out there close to nature.
You know, when I'm writing, I'll just sometimes saddle up and take out for who knows where. Just set up a camp and get away from it all.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of hard to do these days, ain't it, Waddy?
Oh, yeah. You know, there's crazy folks everywhere you go. Not too long ago, I was out in the middle of nowhere, and I thought I heard yodeling.
No.
I mean, it was really strange. Somebody just yodeling, you know, to the sky and the varmints. I guess it takes all kinds, don't it?
I guess it does. Anyway. Good luck to you, Waddy. Thanks for coming all the way from Jiggs, Nevada to be on Riders Radio Theater. Ladies and gentlemen, Waddy Mitchell.
Riders Radio Theater is a Mammoth Radio Pictures production in association with WVXU. This program is being taped live at the Emory Theater in the Queen City of the West, Cincinnati, Ohio. Stay with us, Saddle Pals. We'll be right back. Here's a little of the old cowboy favorite, Man on the Flying Trapeze. Thank you. Welcome back, Buckaroos and Buckarettes. You're listening to Riders Radio Theater. And now Riders Radio Theater presents the ongoing saga of the Cowboy Way. Tonight, episode 13, the concluding chapter of the exciting Western melodrama, Return of the Phantom. As faithful listeners will no doubt recall, when last we left our story at the train trestle over the gorgeous gorge of the dried-up Tumbleweed River, the toxic waste was about to hit the fan. Two slim Woody Paul and Side Meter on one side of the trestle. On the other side are the Phantom of the Valley, actually Ranger Doug suffering from amnesia, and Miss Marm along with a derailed circus train full of caged wild animals. In the dry riverbed below are the villains Slocum and Charlie. Approaching the trestle at full speed is a freight train carrying 1 million tons of liquid toxic waste. What makes this so frightening is that earlier, as part of a failed attempt to trap the Phantom of the Valley, Slocum and Charlie had sawed every beam and brace on the trestle to within 1 centimeter of breaking through. Now, the addition of no more than the weight of a skinny butterfly will bring the whole thing crashing down and spill 1 million tons of liquid toxic waste into the dry riverbed below. The resulting flash flood of toxic waste could make the entire valley uninhabitable for the next millennia. And now episode 13, entitled Toxic Death Crash. As the death train barrels closer and closer toward the quivering trestle, the riders, minus Ranger Doug, watch helplessly from the far side of the gorge.
Woody, we've got to figure out some way to get over there and help the Phantom stop that train.
You're right, Slim. I've been doing some figuring on that. And according to my calculations, if he has 100 yards to build his momentum up, Amazing Turbo can leap this gorge carrying all three of us on his back.
Great idea, Woody. Oh, if it works.
I'll get Turbo.
Quickly, Woody rounds up Turbo and prepares to put his daring plan to the test. Meanwhile, in the dry riverbed below, two cornered rats are desperately trying to escape their fate.
Charlie, we gotta get out of here.
How are we gonna do that, Slocum? It's 500 feet straight up a rock wall to the top of this gorge. We'll never make it in time.
Yeah, we gotta try to outrun it. Maybe we can find an easier way out downstream. Come on!
Let's go.
Nearer and nearer comes the steel wheel toxic terror, a fact that is not lost on Miss Marm in the Phantom of the Valley.
What can we do?
There's no way to save the train, but I could ride out and warn the crew to jump off. If only I had El Turbo here.
Your wish may be granted, Phantom, for at this moment on the opposite side of the gorge, the mighty horse with your three stalwart companions astride his back is galloping towards the edge of the gorge.
On Turbo! On Mighty Turbo!
To leap this yawning chasm would be an impossible feat for the average horse, but not for Amazing Turbo, the only horse in the world with afterburners. And only scant seconds later, he safely lands and tops up to the waiting Phantom.
Fantastico! Quick, amigos! Dismount and let me in the saddle. I must try to warn the train crew about the trestle.
Okay. Go, Phantom, go!
The Phantom has tried his back once again. Amazing Turbo's afterburners kick in, and in no time, horse and rider are racing alongside the speeding train. Crouching up, the Phantom leaps from his saddle and lands like a panther in the engine cab, much to the dismay of the engineer and his fireman.
Don't hurt us, masked man!
Ask
don't hurt
no
us!
Questions and do as I say. Are there any passengers on this train?
Nope. All the toxic shipments carry only a skeleton crew, fireman and engineer.
And that's us.
Good. Now, jump off.
What? Jump off? We're going about near 60 miles an hour
yeah.
here.
Do not fear. El Turbo will catch you.
El who?
My friend, I have no time to explain. Jump, or I'll throw you myself.
Okay, I'm going.
Me too.
Bueno. Now me also three. Turbo aquí. Ay.
Will this horse's wonders never cease? All three land safely on his galloping back and are carried away to safety, and not a moment too soon either. A split second later, the train reaches the trestle, and with a thunderous roar, train and trestle go crashing down 500 feet to the dry riverbed below. And on impact, 100 tanker cars crack open like rotten eggs and spill over 1 million tons of toxic waste into the dried-up riverbed. This unprecedented ecological disaster is only one bright side. The first victims are a pair of two-legged snakes slithering down the no longer dry riverbed.
Run, Charlie, run! Run!
Hey, come on!
See you in the afterlife!
Oh, don't wear your long johns.
Well, that's that. Meanwhile, back to Woody.
Holy smokes! That's toxic waste pouring out of those tankers.
It'll flood the valley and destroy Tumbleweed City.
Somehow we must dam it up before it gets there.
Well, the best place is 200 yards downstream at the Marleybone Narrows. There's a soft cliff overhang there. If we could somehow dislodge it, it would create a natural earthen dam.
Phantom, you've got a yodel.
Yodel? I cannot yodel.
Oh, yes you can.
You're really Ranger Doug, Phantom, the greatest yodeler in the world.
Ranger who?
Never mind, just try to yodel.
Please try.
For you, Miss Marm, I would try to jump to the moon. Here goes. Hole. 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 You the hole. Hole.
Keep trying, Phantom. There's hidden powers even in a weak yodel like that. Hey, I think it's working. He's getting better at it. Keep trying, Phantom. Keep trying. Keep trying. Holy cow, he's doing it.
It's at least a number three. We better cover our ears and turbos, too.
Good idea, Slim. Gosh, I feel the ground shaking. It must be working.
You couldn't be more right, Woody Paul. For 200 yards downstream at the Marleybone Narrows, the earth is moving as 10,000 tons of rock and dirt collapse into the dry tumbleweed riverbed and form a natural earthen dam. Seconds later, a million tons of liquid toxic waste roar around the bend and splash harmlessly against it.
Wow, that was some yodel, Phantom.
Well, thanks, Slim, but why in the world did you call me Phantom?
Well, because that's who...
Ranger Doug! You're back!
Back from where? What do you mean?
13 episodes later. Yeah. Your YOLO must have cured you.
Well, cured me of what?
More